Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians come on to defend music they enjoy that other people give them shit about. Tommy,
great job.
I hate that when people make fun of the type of music you like. Don't you hate that?
No, I think it's the worst thing in the world. I think it's worse than anything.
It's worse than a war crime, if you ask me. What is a war crime? I am Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, and I am joined, of course, by Tommy McNamara, the Prince of Snarkness.
And the Dog of Wall Street, as we've established.
Was that right?
Yeah.
The Dog of Wall, was that from last week?
No,
I don't remember a lot of last week's
episode. You were very drunk.
And the roles are reversed today.
And to get back at you, I got drunk today.
We have a very special guest on. But first, let's introduce the podcast concept more. Guy Montgomery has joined us.
A true crack up.
Yeah, a genuine crack up. Finally, this podcast has been, you know, saddled with all these lousy guests. And then I kick the door in.
Can you explain exactly which guests you think are bad?
Oh, look, I don't want to name names.
By name.
But every guest that preceded me was a real piece of shit.
The Patton, Doug Benson.
Yeah, I thought Patton Oswalt in particular was pretty ordinary. I thought Emmy Blotnick had a real bad ep.
I was just talking about that ep the other day because we really covered Ruben Studdard on that episode.
I'm sorry, 2004.
Sorry. Yeah. He starts out with just, damn. Just considering all the things he did wrong in 2004.
What did Ruben Studdard do wrong?
Oh, man, he did it all.
You gotta listen to the song.
Yeah.
Can we play it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's just play it.
Damn.
Whatever the year he did well was, the year he beat Clay Aiken.
Well, the bummer is, I think the year he did well was 2003, and then 2004, he just had a rough one.
The thing is, sometimes when you do well, you get too excited, don't you?
Yeah.
That's true.
And, I mean, even as recently as 14, 13 years ago, it was a different time.
It was different.
Wasn't to know that the things he was doing would be held up against him as evidence of his being a bad or questionable person.
You know, him and Clay are doing a holiday live show in New York.
And can I say this?
Yes.
Finally.
You can say that. Yeah,
the chemistry between those gents was undeniable, and I can only imagine still will be after 14 years of not talking.
Yeah, the demand is higher than ever. So that's what's good.
I'm getting texts right now from Jared Thompson. I want to know if it's about this.
About the feelers.
About the feelers.
We're talking about the feelers today while you're looking
at
it.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about the feelers. You know them. You love them.
As I call them, worse than Ezra. Because they sound like a bad version of Better Than Ezra.
I don't know Better Than Ezra, so there is no offense in your comparison.
Okay.
Look, the thing about the feelers is it sounds like they didn't break the States. And, you know, can we hold that against them as a measure of the music they made? Maybe the marketing machine wasn't big enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many reasons that Axt can't make it big in America. Mm-hmm. I would say it's probably a combination of all of those things. The feelers are not technically the most exciting musicians or the most exciting band in the world.
They are second most exciting.
Yeah, they're technically the second most gifted, but they're way down the list of exciting. But they hold a special place in my heart. You know, they kept me company through adolescence. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to hear what you guys think of them. I listened to a lot of the music before coming to do the episode just to refamiliarize myself. And I immediately became like quite embarrassed and nervous to stand beside this back catalog of songs.
This is exactly what we want out of people defending music. We want you to feel a little on edge, you know?
Yeah. So I noticed that all of your songs were from the first two albums. Is that like a common thing with this band? Are they kind of like the Weezer of...
Yeah, do they drop off?
Yeah.
It's the thing, even saying that they are the Weezer of anything is generous.
It's high praise. Okay.
They were never the Weezer of, in the first instance, to be the Weezer who fell off. But they were a huge success in New Zealand. They had... I think they've had multiple number one albums and singles. There was like those first
two
albums.
Had five number one albums.
There you go.
I believe that's what it is.
You have to sell something like 33 albums to get a number one.
I was going to make fun of the numbers, but I was like, is that insulting to New Zealand? So I'm glad that
New Zealand is
going to defer to you.
New Zealand is the home of per capita. Like, well, you know, per capita, we've got the most coffee shops in the world.
Least racism per capita.
There's another way of saying not a lot of people live here. Like, we're always, every Olympics roll around, we're like, well, per capita.
So we won all the gold.
We have our own, genuinely in the newspaper, we print our own medal table, which is done per capita.
Wow.
And America is languishing. So I can see why the failing New York Times are afraid to put that in their sports coverage. Where are the next Olympics?
What's I think Tokyo, right?
2020, Tokyo?
That sounds right,
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. Let's all go.
Yeah, we
should do a live episode of Stand By Your Band from Tokyo.
That sounds like a good crossover rip.
So what was, in New Zealand, were you listening to, was it, what was the mix of like American and British music and New Zealand music?
So that's a great question. The mix, we generally, we take from everywhere. And this, like, you know, as you guys would have in high school, this was before, this was like, if you really liked the song, you'd LimeWire individual songs.
That is something we have in common.
Yeah.
And this is a really united nation.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and I was worried that, you know, our differences would drive us apart. But yeah, so, you know, through the radio and like you could choose the music you liked and you could sort of find it, but you didn't have constant access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, commercial radio was absolutely dominated by America, like imports. Australian acts actually have always had quite a good run in New Zealand. And then the Feelers are sort of, they're New Zealand artists who are benefactors of this arrangement, because it's like we also do want to herald and champion some of our own and our musicians and bands.
Yeah.
And so you'll wind up attaching your cart to what might be a gammy horse, but in the context of, you know, you're like, but it's our horse.
Yeah.
And so the feel, you know, there's a little bit of that with the Feelers, where it's like people jump on them because they were the best of that ilk of bands
coming through
New Zealand. I mean, there was another band called She Had, who were they're critically more revered. They changed their name. Funnily enough, I actually completely forgot this. Now after 9/11, they wanted to break America, and they were nervous because their band name was She Had. And
when you said break America, you mean like they wanted to like get
successful? Okay. Yeah,
I thought you meant they wanted to like destroy America.
The Taliban also wanted to break America.
Yeah. It turned out they were a mouthpiece for. But no, so they like in a move which no one was interested in, and just read as like supremely simultaneously confident and paranoid, changed their name from She Had to Pacifier. So to distance themselves from sounding like
somehow worse.
Jihad.
I didn't even put She-Head.
I might be mispronouncing it, because I always pronounce it She-Head, but maybe they pronounced it She-Hard.
Oh, okay.
But anyway,
my girl give me that She-Head. Does that relate?
My girl give me that She-Head. Oh, is that, are you mispronouncing the word head?
Yes.
Yeah, and of course head, everyone knows, is blowjobs.
Blowjays.
Or vagina eating, depending on the, it could, is, you can give a woman head.
You can give her that.
So
brain.
It can
in
be
America,
vagina
not
eating.
In New Zealand.
Yeah, America we call it brain. But
I have heard that one before. See, we get trickle down of your culture.
Yeah,
but so yeah, the Feelers were second best to She Had, but like
Pacify.
I think that Pacify exactly, but I think their music is too. It's slightly too good for. Like, I don't think I would have to stand behind them.
Oh, right.
I thought, like,
the
Feelers occupy the same space.
Yeah, I would say you did a good job of, like, this band can be defended.
This is Pacifier B. And so, there was a huge sort of wave of these, like, post-alt-rock sort of groups in the mid to early
2000s. It's a very, you get very much that sound. Yeah.
I don't really know what else to say. Like, some of these songs I love because I have vivid... not even like physical memories, but emotional memories, like feelings associated with some of the music. But when you listen back to it stripped of that context, as you guys would have,
yes,
it's just like, why would anyone put this song on?
So they're not bad by any stretch. They're not a bad band.
No.
They're not terrible.
I think they're very generic kind of post-grunge rock.
They were taking elements of like Bush. And
Bush is the best, taking these
American bands
and
they're putting them through hokey New Zealand instruments and saying this... And some of us, adolescents at the time were going, yes.
Yeah. Let's hear a song real fast, because I don't think the people listening to this podcast probably know, unless we have a huge, hey, if you're a Feelers fan listening to this episode, welcome to the show.
Did you find anything about the name?
No, actually I didn't.
What do you think about the name?
Even on the Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, It is a funny band name.
It is like a fit. Like if you were trying to make fun of Coldplay, you'd be like, "What are they, the Feelers?"
Yeah,
yes. Just keep feeling
because
shit.
Because also yeah. you'd trace it back, and you're like, "There's pretty much two ways we can go with imagining you calling yourselves the Feelers.
Yes.
Either you love the experience of touch of all the senses, that is your favorite sense, or you are an incredibly emotive group who you know."
Yeah.
Give and receive feelings.
Or you like putting out feelers.
Right. Yeah. Like you're like an email.
Maybe that's what they do. Yeah.
Like, hey, just putting out some feelers. What do you guys want for lunch today?
Yeah. That's like, what do you guys think of our band name? And they're like, fuck it. We'll just call it Feelers.
Or some feelers about our band name.
Some terrifying combination of all three.
I think of spiders when I think of feelers. Maybe because they have so many things to feel with.
Eight-legged feelers.
That's, that's why spiders are so emotional.
The famed emotional volatility of the arachnid family.
Let's listen to a song called Pressure Man, which is the Say It Ain't So of the Feelers category.
I hate this opening.
Yeah, I don't like this.
No, it's great.
It's designed to be like,
what's going on here?
Yeah, I thought my Nintendo Switch was broken when this started.
You were listening on Nintendo Switch?
I was. That's how
Isn't
I listen
the
to
most
music.
Popular MP3 player these days. I can't describe how scary it is listening to this music. I'm telling you, it's going to be documented and released.
The Pinta, the Santa Maria.
Smash the glass. Shake the glass. Cut the mother earth opens up. Sucks.
Do you guys know what American film this song was used in?
The Matrix.
No. But I could see
Doesn't
that's not
it feel
a bad
like
guess.
A Matrix song?
That, yeah. It's not close to what the answer is, but it is a good guess.
Can you give a hint?
Yeah,
unless
I'll
you
give,
know, Guy. Do you know?
Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Have you seen the movie?
That we're talking
Have you
about.
Seen film?
Have you seen movies?
Yeah, we get movies too.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much.
No, Guy has one of my favorite podcast structures, which is that you watch the same film every day or every week. For a year,
yeah.
Correct?
It's called The Worst Idea of All Time.
We talked about this on a previous episode because you commented on the Facebook, and when your name came up, I had to tell them to talk about it. So yesterday I was telling someone you were going to be on, and they were like, oh, that's that guy with the thing. Yeah, but good story,
it was
Tom.
Grown-ups
that is
too,
a good
right?
story. Yeah, we've done it three times. We've actually just revived it for a fourth season.
Are doing a fourth season?
Yeah. I literally just came from recording an episode. We're doing the first Sex in the City movie.
Oh, but I've seen that.
And you had done the other Sex in the City.
We've already done Sex in
Where
the City 2.
Where they go to Dubai.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, they go to Abu Dhabi. With all respect to my Emirate brothers.
You think you know
brothers.
So much about it?
Yeah. I feel I know a little.
How many times have you watched it? Was it the first time you'd watched it?
Sex in the City?
Yes.
The movie? No,
yes.
So today was the 16th time I've watched it. and it's not one of those evergreen movies that gets better with age.
Well,
you know?
She gets jilted.
Yeah, she gets super jilted.
It's such a fun word to use correctly.
And it's such a flimsy jilting because Biggs, like, sitting in the car, he's like, turn around, let me see. And then she turns, he sees her in profile, and she puts a veil on. He's like, nah, not enough. And that's why? No, I don't know. Anyway,
I haven't seen this film.
You know, it's supposed to be Donald Trump. That's the rumor.
Is that right?
That Mr. Big is like an avatar for Donald Trump. Is something that I've
What
heard
message Wait, boards have you been hovering
not,
around?
But he's not blue. He's orange.
Oh, no. Oh, because of Avatar.
Yeah.
I wasn't using it in that way.
I know what you were. I know the movie, the word Avatar is not always in reference to the film.
Can I just say the subtext on this thing is through the freaking roof. Aren't the boys having a laugh? That's what I'm talking about. Some of the other guests, they come in here, they stink up the joint. They don't even get the subtext.
The Emmy Blotnick types come in, we're all somber.
It's like our favorite episode. We keep
I know,
like
I love that one.
The reason I plucked it is because I listened to it this morning.
You don't hear him bringing up Joel Kim Booster's episode. Jesus. Another solid one. Pretty much anyone that we didn't name is a bad one.
That's right.
That's quite a lot. Also good. Actually, we got rid of that one because he met Mariah Carey and didn't want the record of the
show. Oh, is that
true?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I should have probably told you that. I'm sorry.
I tell you what, as an outside observer, that is a fascinating piece of trivia, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it exciting to live in a world where one of your guests met the person they were talking about?
Yes. It just happened recently.
Well, we had a couple of those because we had Anthony DeVito, who knows Train.
Yes. And we have Tommy McNamara, who runs Train.
Yes, me and Derek Rose. Let me ask you a question, guy. Have you ever run Train?
not in my memory, no. There are huge holes. I could have been doing literally anything.
I almost made a terrible joke.
It was on both of our minds. And cheers to us for that.
We're good, man. No. I'm shocked to hear that you say that you're doing another season, because I think what I also may have, I don't know if I said this on the other, but what made me laugh so hard about when you told me that you weren't going to do another season is because you realized the funniest thing to do was to do Sex and the City 2 again.
Well, so yeah,
and
that
you
was,
couldn't do it.
That was at the end of the second season. So we did Grown Ups 2, then we did Sex and the City 2, and we were still deciding on the night of the last show what we were going to do for the third season. And we realized, I think a friend might have told, someone sort of said, I suggested this the other day. I can't remember who it was, and I don't even remember if they suggested it. But anyway, we were like, the funniest thing we could have done would be Sex and the City 2 again, because we were emotionally ruined from 52 screenings of that film. It was so just absent of any self-awareness. But we did We Are Your Friends, which is a music movie about Zac Efron trying to be a DJ in Los Angeles. And it was at, like, the movie was too earnest. It was like a real attempt at making a meaningful piece of cinema. And the other two were like cynical kind of, you know, not as good of movies. And so it was sort of a misstep, because it wasn't as fun to put the boot into this like sort of failed art project.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, we retired after that because we were tired. And then Tim still lives in New Zealand and I'm here. And we sort of sadly don't get a lot of communication with each other if it's not around something that we're both working on.
Yeah.
And so we've sort of revived it while simultaneously attempting to revive our flagging friendship.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
that's going to happen to us someday.
Yeah. There's a genuine Pavlovian element with it, though, you know, where it's like I've lost the friend Tim, and now if I get a message from him, it's usually some piece of administration around finding a time for us to watch and discuss Sex in the City together.
This is hitting pretty close to home.
Oh, no. Well, we're just very busy.
Yeah. We've all got heaps on. That's what's great about us, you know.
You know what movie you could do next? Drop Dead Gorgeous, which features the film Pressure, or the song Pressure Man.
I can
from
see
the Feelers.
Why this guy is a host, because he brings it back to
Look
the topic.
Oh, and I don't.
Yeah. I still have no idea what you bring to the show, Tommy.
Oh, because I'm visibly drunk. Is that what's wrong?
What was the plot of Drop Dead Gorgeous? Sorry.
A guy came onto a podcast and was mean. That was the I think that was the movie.
Shot in a mockumentary format, it follows the contestants of a beauty pageant called the Sarah Rose Cosmetics Mount Rose American Teen Princess Pageant, held in the small fictional town of, you guessed it, Mount Rose, Minnesota, in which various contestants die in suspicious ways.
I think a lot of people probably guessed Mount Rose, but not everyone got Minnesota. I did. And this is one of the distinguishing features I'm talking about when I say that I am quite an illustrious and intelligent guest.
He is. Look, he's full of data, which is what we want.
Starring who?
That's a good question. Oh, I can't remember.
No one of interest?
Isn't that gorgeous?
Oh, wait. Kirsten Dunst is the one that I remember from that.
She's successful.
Who else is in this? I think there's a lot of actresses in this. Let's see here. Oh, Kirstie Alley's in this, too. And Denise Richards. Wow, hot cast, huh?
You been on Kirstie Alley's Twitter lately?
I have not.
Neither.
So just a heads up, I don't think we're going to be able to do we went to Facebook today, because I posted about it 20 minutes ago and all
I've comments.
One comment from Dale McPeak that says, "You also guessed it. LOL." And Jared just texted me, but I don't think he knows the band, so I don't know if we're going to get a voicemail from him. But you know what?
That's a shame. Maybe I was really looking forward to Jared's appraisal.
I should have asked him. I was driving. I drove back from D.C. today. It was a treacherous drive.
You were in D.C.?
I was in D.C. this very morn.
What?
Yeah. This is the thing. You only text me to keep up with the podcast.
I know, I guess. Wow.
Oh, no, I've really come in here.
You really fucked us up here. Yeah, yeah.
I think maybe if he can still, you can just get him to review it. I won't defend anything he says because he's quite a, you know, he doesn't hold back.
No.
Let him have his way with the band, you know. I'll stand up to them while you guys try and hang shit on them. But Jared can have his wicked way with the Feelers. And rest assured, they'll have their wicked way with Jared.
Oh, wow.
Is that how they're going to respond?
Not necessarily, but the lead singer of the Feelers is a guy called James Reid. So
yes.
The Feelers experienced immense success in New Zealand. Which
yes.
Sadly,
so they're royalty in New Zealand.
They were for a window of time, but it doesn't ever quite afford you enough financial security to insulate you from having to go back to graft. Like, if you don't sustain it, you will still have to go back to grafting together a career.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of what's happened. Is every summer they do sort of, you know, either a winery tour or he does an acoustic solo tour.
Yeah.
But the
is he the only one that's gone solo at all?
Yeah, I think others might play in other bands, but uh-huh. he's still possessed of an unholy amount of self-belief. And
you think that's an affront to God?
Yeah, I think a little. I used to host a TV show on which, like, we'd fill out segments. I was on a public access, you know, show, and friends would come on. We had a segment called Kiwi Heroes, and friends would come on dressed as New Zealand celebrities, and I'd interview them as though they were celebrities. And a friend of mine, Joseph Moore, came on as James Reid. And this was like a pretty, you know, it's like not it's not a huge show, it's not a tiny show, like, but not a large number of New Zealanders are watching it.
Yeah.
And he somehow caught wind of it and took real issue with the way he was portrayed on this like middling little improvised comedy segment on a public access TV
like
show.
Like a comedy Bang Bang type character.
Yeah. That's wild.
So, you know, the idea of Jared's appraisal getting back to James Reid in a angry voicemail or whatever.
Yeah, he said he's making one now.
Oh, okay, great.
I'm very excited.
So he probably will hear this then.
I mean, you got to think there's not a lot of journalism about this band. I've read, I'm going to say every piece of it. Within a half an hour.
Yeah.
And did you read most of it's YouTube comments.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So they get. I read a lot of their recent press as well. And it's like, it seems every year around summer, there's like a different journalist from one of the two main newspapers has done a sit down interview with James Reid. And it's like, yeah, big things are coming. We're doing the tour this summer. We're getting the band back together.
Oh, wow. They pissed people off a lot, it seems like, in 2009 by promising an album that didn't come out until 2011. They were like, there's an album coming out in a few months, they said, and then they were like, actually, it's late 2011, and you know, these New Zealanders, they're
like Kevin,
they're restless. Yeah, yeah.
They also antagonized a lot of New Zealanders because they were given, we hosted the Rugby World Cup in 2011.
This was big, yeah. This was one of the big things.
Of course, we all
I
remember
found.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm frankly relieved. I was going to explain, you know, how significant different sports are in different countries, and the idea of hosting a large scale event can really inject a lot of money into the economy, mm-hmm. which is the stimulus needed. You know, some of that money trickles down to the regions, and it sort of helps keep everyone happy.
Yeah, well, we did a live episode from the Rugby World Cup, so we know what
it
we're
probably just
about.
Got lost in the general fanfare of the Rugby World
well,
Cup.
Well, the Rugby
2011 was not a strong year for standby event. Yet another a slate of 52
actually,
absolute duds as guests.
Actually, the Rugby World Cup met Mariah Carey, so they asked that we delete their episode.
We'll talk about it after.
But anyway, I can't remember what it happened. If they got given a grant, I don't know what the arrangement was, but somehow they were told they were going to create the anthem, like the New Zealand musical anthem that would, not like in a national anthem way, but like the song that would be representative of us hosting the 2011 Rugby World Cup.
Yes.
And they just came out with a cover of some like obscure.
Yeah. Oh, you! What the hell song was it? People were pissed
right
about
here,
it.
Right here, right now.
This is the only that song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they just
that
did,
song
like
sucks.
They just covered a shitty
that
song.
Song's bad.
Yeah. And everyone was like,
"It's really bad."
Right
it's
here,
the it's a corny
right
ass
now.
Commercial too.
Yeah. And everyone was sort of like, "What the fuck?"
James, what are you doing?
Yeah, but so a lot of their more recent press is like, "Yep. It's going to start happening again pretty soon."
Wow.
And it hasn't been happening for a while.
Have you seen them live?
I've not seen the Feelers live.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do they play a lot in New Zealand?
Yeah,
but
they,
now
they,
it's like
they do,
solo
but it's
stuff.
Not
right
yeah.
now. Right now,
and it's not. It's yeah. It's not sort of large venue gigs. Like they've experienced. You know, they've gone to the top of the mountain and they're on the other side now on the way back down. So yeah. they're going to the clubs they would have played before and bars and pubs that they would have played before they were superstars.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a question. Do you remember the movie Invictus?
I haven't watched.
Was that New Zealand?
We were the villains in the movie.
You were the
Invictus.
Villains. Okay. Yeah, because I remember New Zealand being involved in that.
It is so funny that New Zealand were the villains in a movie about South African racial politics. It's like, well, yeah, I tell you who's to blame. It's the fucking New Zealand rugby team. Apartheid was their idea, and until we defeat them, yeah. Our country will never be united.
I'm happy I brought that up because
that's great.
Could not remember, but I knew they were involved in some way. Yeah.
Hot off the presses, we do have a voicemail from Jared Thompson. This is a little segment we call They Went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? This week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending the Feelers, who I guess are a band from Australia, or I think it's in Australia or New Zealand or something. I think that's the same place. Anyway, I think it's like slang for Australia or whatever, New Zealand. Like it's sort of like calling like the grand old flag or like the American flag. It's stupid. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, I assume that if they're being talked about on this podcast, then they must be somewhat popular somewhere, and also that they're not, you know, respected by people, which all of that makes sense listening to it. I just listened and heard of them for the first time just now and listened to it for the first time. And I mean, the first thing that came to my mind when listening to the first song that came up is that it sounds like it's from like Grey's Anatomy, which is like Tommy's favorite. Like he loves all those like one blue headlight or whatever that one song is. Like they sound like one of those bands that would have been on like soundtracks of like really bad, like melodramatic shows. And then they'll get like harder. I listen to like three or four songs and they'll get like harder. And it's just, I mean, it's just really like corporate overproduced, like crap. I mean, it's just not good. But at the same time, I mean, it's like, you can see very easily why people would like soccer moms or whatever would listen to it. Just people that don't ever do research on music. Sorry, I don't really know what I'm talking about, but it's not good, that's for sure. All right, thanks.
Can I just say, while I might disagree with his assessment of the band The Feelers, I'm right with Jared in the mantra, fuck soccer mums, am I right? These dumb broads.
Yeah, we've had enough of them.
He's good for nothing, dames.
Yeah, get your kid into football.
Are rugby
moms a thing?
It's
good for their brains.
No, soccer moms is like international for because
we invented
just
soccer.
Like white woman like
yeah. who just takes their kid to sport, yeah, like a yeah. supportive parental figure. And
I had a soccer mom. I've had it with not mom, but like a soccer dad. Moms. My mom was very supportive and remains very supportive. I wish I had someone who would have taken me to basketball practice instead of my.
How did you get there?
I didn't. I just became fat and cut from the team, guy.
Oh no!
Yeah, but if only
that's a real shame because you had a lot of promise.
I did.
You had handles, man.
I had very supportive parents and still became fat. Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
So I had different parents, different outcomes.
Same,
but
podcast.
Yeah, I think I'm willing. Yeah, yeah.
That is a great theme. That's
parents, different outcomes,
same podcast.
But I don't entirely disagree with his, his assessment of the band. Like he saw that there was enough merit for them to succeed. Like you know, enjoy the mild success.
Yeah.
That
that's
they
what
had.
I said. They're not bad. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And the song that I most, I probably stand behind the most, even though I think it's like it's the most earnest one. Fishing for Lisa.
Let's play it right
Let's
now.
Let's listen to it.
And it's about the Simpsons.
This is a song that I, before I even had experienced heartbreak, or like, you know, had even managed to be in a relationship. This was a song where I'd listen to it and be like, God damn it, I wish I could just fall in love with someone and break up with them. So I could listen to the song and really feel it more than I am right now, which is still quite a lot.
I wish I could fish for Lisa. Shut it on better. And now I'm sitting trying to count my loss. Thought you're my reason to live. I'm trying to find my angel. You give nothing, get the same return. I said it would be this song.
Emotional, or in my instance, wanting to be emotional while listening to that, can't you?
Oh, of course.
I mean, what are your impressions of that? Is that first hearing for both of you? That was the first hearing of that one.
Oh, yes, for an impression.
Nice. I liked that. I'm a softie. I liked that more than I should have, probably, given my age. But I like a sentimental, you know, little thing. Apparently this was a song based on a short relationship that James had when they were overseas producing this album and touring.
Where is overseas for New Zealand?
America.
No. Oh.
Literally everywhere.
Buried Alive by Love says, no one has commented on this song. It is a beautiful song by New Zealand band The Feelers, which is literally said right above what her comment, or his comment, I should say. Probably why it isn't very well known. I think it's about how he wants what he can't have. She was everything to him, but she has gone, and he thought she was the reason for him to live. Simple message, but really well done. That's how I feel, too. I am buried by love.
I think we should give a similarly earnest and just frank assessment of the YouTube user who wrote that comment, which is, you know, I think it sounded like they were trying to communicate that the song was about a guy who wanted something and couldn't have it. I think that, like, even hearing it then, it's the tone and the melody and the, like, the violin coming in with that drum kick. And you're like, oh, my God, they're really going for something here. If I was to sing along, I'd get like 2 out of every 5 words, which is enough to try, but not enough to sound any good.
Yeah.
There's no memorable lyrics in there, I don't think.
No, it's very generic. I'm trying to find my angel. Give me nothing.
They're never saying anything.
No, I thought you were my reason to live. The songwriting is terrible. It's just like, it's very bad.
What's the one where they say, I am a river?
I'm fishing for Lisa, like a meeting in the water.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, I hate meetings in the water. The other day, CAA hit me up, and they were like, hey,
get down to Hudson.
We got a big opportunity for you, see? I had a general with CBS, and it was deep in the Red Sea. And I was like, look, buddy, if I'm going to pitch you an award-winning series, it's going to be on land. Yeah, what do you think, Tommy?
It's not good, but it's not bad. That's the thing. It's pleasant, though. It's all fine. Yeah.
It is pleasant. Did you have songs like that? Like you were saying that longing for this made you long for like a relationship. Something you just wanted to feel what this was trying to make you feel.
Yeah,
I did that. I was just thinking of what made me feel that, and it was anything that Vertical Horizon made.
They're
you know Vertical Horizon?
What was their big hit?
She's So High.
That's
Tal Bachman.
They had You're a God.
You're a God with Vertical Horizon.
So you sailed away. into a gray sky morning.
Oh, it's a shame that we can play all songs except Vertical Horizon, and all Vertical Horizon songs must be rendered in acoustic.
I have to.
Well, we had a guest who talked about Vertical Horizon and then met them, and then is somehow.
Best I Ever Had, it's called.
It's the Drake song. Yes.
Listen to how hard I fucking nailed this just now.
Baby, you're my everything.
Oh, you're the fucking best.
Damn. So you sailed away.
Yeah.
Into a gray sky.
It's an upside down. It looks like a little girl doing a flip.
Yeah. Is it? And this is your fishing for Lisa.
This is my fishing for Lisa. Damn, this is a good song, though. I still think this is a banger. I'm going to defend Vertical Horizon on this show someday. All right. Anyway, that's enough Vertical Horizon.
It's so good that
talk.
You still think it's a banger. I'm so, this is the sort of thing I was afraid of. But for you to just generously share the same
of course.
Thing
that's,
back.
This is, I think, the vibe of the show is that I tend to agree with the emotions of the guest, and Tommy sits there in his
Princess
in his throne.
Yeah.
I'm a nice guy.
His throne built on quips.
Yeah. Yeah. A flimsy throne at that.
You don't even hang out anymore. You can't be mean to me.
Come on. this motherfucker's the wolf of Dog Street. He's not afraid to call it how he sees it, and he sees it as a wolf.
That's right, in black and white.
Yeah, yeah. Woof woof.
All right. Let's hear another song here. So did you have let me ask you this, guy. Because you said
can I give you a song, like a fun little comedic thing that my friends and I used to do for one of the songs?
Of course.
So if you could please play the song by the Feelers, Venus.
Yes.
And for the sake of comedy, if you could, instead of hearing him sing the word,
I think I know where this is going.
Venus. Well, if you give me a chance, I'll tell you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
If you could imagine he was singing the word penis.
I was way off.
I was also far off. I thought you were going to say, imagine that he was singing about the popular book. Men are from Venus, women are from Mars.
Men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Oh, that's how you'd like it to be.
Yeah, it's 2018.
Yeah.
People can be from different planets.
All right, let's hear some Venus. And remember, imagine he's saying penis.
My little Venus, can't you feel it's in all of us?
It's really good.
Like fuck, this works better than I thought.
See you soon, give up yourself and dive into the moon. And I don't mind being with you now and I'm by myself. There's a river in all of us.
River in all dry. Of us.
Are in me, there's a river in all of us. It's dry. Yes. You are in me. Come, my little Venus,
little Venus,
wrapped in shadows. Yeah, you're one of us. Steps inside your head, walking, trying to find yourself.
It would have to be so large that it wouldn't fit.
So, can you explain to me these lyrics?
Almost definitely, as co-writer of the song.
Okay. There's a river in all of us that's dry, as you are in me. What does that mean?
So the river in all of us that's dry is there's a you know, a deep emotional well that remains untapped. This incredible resource of feeling that, for whatever reason, for the songwriter and the person for whom the song was written, is not presently being experienced. As you are in me, absolute fucking nonsense.
But who is he to say that there's a river in all of us that's dry?
Why, he's James Reid of the Feelers, most successful New Zealand musician of 2001 to 2004.
Kiwi Music point. Says, at first thought, this may have been a love song, kind of along the lines of an unrequited love and searching for the answers and the right path to take. After looking and listening to it, I've decided it could be anything, and only the writer will know.
Incredible analysis.
Thank you.
Incredible to arrive at the end of that thought and still push submit.
I don't know anything. Yeah.
To talk yourself into taking a stance and then going, yep.
SS.com writes, Venus is the goddess of love and sexuality. Ooh. With that in mind, it seems obvious to me this song is about the female orgasm. Mm.
Ah, sounds like someone who's quite familiar with the female orgasm right there. I think that song doesn't stand out. I remember it vividly, but because it ramps up a bit at the end and, like, you know, it gets an electric guitar involved and you wind up in a place which isn't just the sheer intimacy that Fishing for Lisa just doesn't break, and it's sort of unwaveringly earnest. But this is like also at the end, they're like, yeah, and we know how to rock.
Yeah. We love and rock.
Yeah, there it is.
Hell yeah.
Pasolo!
Yeah, sure! Woo! Screaming at it. This is like a nice. He's like taking a bunch of Adderall that day. He's like all like, come, my penis, please.
That was that thing. You know, everyone was mad at Donald Trump for snorting Adderall. It's like, you know, snorting Adderall is fine. We've all done it.
One of the rare pro Donald Trump. Yeah.
It's like, that's the thing you're going to get upset about.
That's my problem. Yeah, get course, mad about the child that died in the camp, but don't get mad about the Adderall. You
sure,
know? That's
sure,
what people
sure.
are like. Oh, he drinks Diet Coke. Yeah. What a loser! A lot of fuck up.
A lot of unconvincing produce. Oh yeah, it's just no good. You can't snort Adderall. God, I'm so tired.
Let's hear another feeler song. Unfortunately, we kind of got to rush through this.
No, that's okay.
A little bit.
If you'd be so brave, so I sent, as you accurately observed, I sent 6 songs from the first 2 albums.
Yes.
But I feel like in the interest of covering more of the band's career, we can span further. So Larger Than Life was, I think, not the last commercial hit, but it's certainly like almost a second wave of the Feelers, or like when they were trying to, you know, Kings of Leon put out, like, their first 2 albums were really quite great, I thought. And mm-hmm. then they were like, and now people like us, we're going to make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
It feels like a song from there, and now we're going to make a shit ton of money.
Sure.
Now we're playing arenas. Yeah.
Let's hear Sex is on Fire from
The Feelers.
Am I being frank? What is going on?
I have a confession to make.
You love the Feelers?
I'm a huge Feelers fan.
Oh!
But the reason it's taken us a year and a half for me to do that.
I didn't choose that song because I can't really stand behind that. It's like, I still enjoy this. But I feel like it's representative of the journey that the band is
for sure
has been on.
That felt that like printed out song. 3 Doors Down. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Tell me when I'm here.
I'm here. That's how I started singing it.
But that's their sort of, you know, their big stadium hit, you know?
Okay.
Because at this point, all of the band is strung out, but you know, those chords and drum breaks are pretty easy to get through. And from there it all sort of continued to fall apart somewhat.
This yeah. is the heart of the behind the music where it goes down. It reminds me of the Andy Daly character who's a political comedian who never says anything about politics. Yeah. That's what they're doing about love. they're never really giving an opinion.
That's so true. Yeah. It's the most generic things they could say. So
they'd forgotten the experience of falling in love and then attempted to write a song about it.
Less is more, they say. The more I learn, the less I know. If this is a feeling, then I want it to grow. Because you're larger than life.
Well, if
that's
you,
how
especially
I remember
if you
it.
Stack those sentences next to each other, the more the learn, the less I know. That sounds frustrating.
Yes.
And yet, if this is a feeling, he wants that to grow.
Yeah, you like it?
Well, he likes being confused.
Yeah. Pick a fucking side.
This is very bad. Yeah. Just
for let's reference, keep going.
No song facts on that.
One of the fun things I found on the Wikipedia page for the Feelers when I was sort of doing my own research to help me remember my relationship to them is this is a great sentence and also borderline evidence that James Reid has been tinkering with their Wikipedia page, which is my favorite level of musician as someone who's says in July 2008 the Feelers played a sellout show at the Octagon in Dunedin before an All Blacks versus South Africa test match at Carisbrook. And the reason I find that interesting is it's such an insane piece of context to provide.
Wait.
Like that
he said sold out, but so it was the rugby match that was sold out.
Well, no, so that's the first thing you'd think, but it's not even that. They were playing in Dunedin on the same night as like the most popular show in town, which was the sports event.
Yeah, oh, I see.
And they bothered to be like, and yet, in spite of this tremendous thing happening
that's
across
so
town,
specific. Yeah.
It's like what fan was either at this gig and has since remembered it and took the time? It's just
no, you're right. It has to be either them or like their manager or something.
But
that's
I mean, because I first thought the same thing as you guys. I was like, who's claiming a sold out? Like Beyonce is not like a sold. I mean, Beyonce, it doesn't make a difference for her. But if you play the Super Bowl, that's not your gig.
Are the Feelers the Beyonce of New Zealand?
In the same way that they're sort of a huge part of the cultural conversation and they're critically and commercially revered.
Yes.
They are indistinguishable from Beyonce.
I want to say, I was reading, there was one article that I found that I thought was interesting. They have a member of their band called Nine Lives. That's his nickname.
He's unreliable.
And, he's very unreliable. That's that's the thing about him.
I don't like this.
And this is from an article on Stuff.com.
Stuff.co.nz. You think the New Zealand website got the Stuff.com URL?
Is that the Google of New Zealand, Stuff.co.nz?
No, it's more the New York Times of New Zealand.
Oh, wow, that's it.
Truly.
It does look very professional. Their website is very fancy.
Yeah, it's where you fucking put all the news, you know, that, you know, politics, weather, business, and all that fucking stuff.
There's nothing funny about that.
Not to New Zealanders.
Yeah, this is the one thing they find no humor in. The Feelers, 25 years on from sleeping in cars, panic attacks, and near misses. It says Nine Lives had done it again. The name had been earned via his habit of leaving and rejoining the band, but no matter, Tim Skedden was a mate, so the rest of the Feelers would laugh it off. This time, though, having worked hard to build a strong Christchurch following, is that how you pronounce that? Christchurch or Christchurch? It looks like Christchurch. Okay. Yeah.
Believe in yourself.
The band thought that they'd cracked it. A local label was dealing a recording contract. Everyone was what's that?
That's a weird use of the word dealing.
It said dangling, to be honest. Oh, okay. I read it as dealing. Yep. My eyes are, my contacts are a little fucked. It said everyone was crowded into an office, gagging to, it does say gagging. Gagging to sign and already hearing themselves on the radio, but Nine Lives never showed up. And the deal fell apart. It turned out he couldn't find a place to park his car, had a panic attack, and then went home to bed.
Wow.
Let's never let that happen.
Yeah, and to think that's before they even put out an album.
This is the very beginning. Yeah, so, but if he had not signed, the Feelers may not have signed to Warner Music and not released 5 number one albums along with the 21 charting singles, including 3 number ones.
5 number one albums, I'm okay with saying. 21 charting singles?
Yeah.
A lot of songs chart.
Yeah.
3 number one songs? across five number one albums.
That's bizarre.
Those numbers don't stack up. That's the New Zealand marketplace, though. It's a crazy, it's the Wild West out there, and that it is very sparsely populated.
Just got Buster Scruggs over there.
Buster Scruggs. Is that the new
Coen
Brothers, yeah, Brothers movie?
It's a Western thing.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen the movie, but I understand it's beautiful and told in small segments. just for further insight into the mind of the great James Reid, founding member, you know, writer, singer-songwriter. Another interview I found on the New Zealand Herald, which is sort of the, you know, Washington Post to Stuff's New York Times. He got asked the very challenging question by a musical journalist, or presumably like a motoring journalist who was just filling in for the interview. Who's on your ideal summer music fest dream team lineup? And this is, I think, like maybe it's less than 5 years ago. This is James Reid programming a summer music festival.
Yeah.
Cat Stevens, Sting, Paul Simon, MSMR. Black Eyed Peas would get the party cranking.
Oh, no.
The Edge, doing a few tracks on the acoustic.
Just the Edge?
What a
Bono
shot.
Bono can have the night off.
Oh, man. What a shot.
We need some Cirque du Soleil for the kids and with some spiritual guidance, a few words from the Dalai Lama.
What?
Quote, the mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open. End quote.
As a music festival, that could be the worst lineup of all
time.
Yeah,
that's very bad.
It is inspirational.
I do like that there are emphatically no women involved.
And even Bono. Yeah. Take the night off.
It's truly, it's something else, isn't it?
And he didn't even list, who's the other guy from U2? Shit.
There you go.
Well, there's four of them.
Who are the other guys? Who are the other guys?
One of them is McMullen, is his last name. But,
Nick Mullen is part of
Yeah, yeah, it's Nick Mullen and Stavros. And Bono Adam, and the Edge. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, Adam's not involved. But,
yeah. That's the Cumboys' best kept secret. They are secretly a half of popular Irish rock band U2.
That's why they're... Their Patreon numbers are far less impressive.
People like with or without you, yeah.
We are going to have to do something we've never done before on this show. We're going to have to very quickly go through the last few songs. We're going to do a speed round.
Do we have four songs left?
I think we have three. You can cut one of your
Okay.
Which one would you want to cut? Let's play like 30 seconds of all of them. No, play a little bit of all of them.
We'll play 25 seconds of each of these songs.
Okay, right. The average time a man has sex. Yeah.
Communicate. Good song. This is as good as it gets.
Jack Tittle, brother.
From the start, there'd be more heartache than pain. And I'm watching this wind blow. And I'm watching the rain.
Oh, he's watching the rain?
I cannot tell you how strong a place that song holds in my heart. I associate it with, and I don't even know if this ever happened, our national carrier is called Air New Zealand. It's actually a fantastic airline. truly world class.
Nice.
And they would always play sort of, before they played lots of New Zealand music, they'd play like very different sort of vaguely anthemic and uplifting music to be like, hey, you're going on a plane, it's going to be cool. Can't wait for you to get to this destination. And that song, I'll hear it and it'll always feel like it's I'm about to go song. On holiday. I'm like, this is fucking happening. It's on. This is actually, if I could use a phrase from the great James Reid, as good as it gets. But I mean, this is what the sort of thing I was afraid of, where it's like hearing it with people who have none of this context, it's like, that is a real fucking war crime of a song.
No, I don't think it's a war crime.
I actually didn't think it was
I think it's Switzerland. I think it's a neutral country in a great
a
war.
It's
true that this is real is a... I'm watching the wind blow. I'm waiting the rain.
He's watching everything.
He just loves
get
watching.
Get involved, James.
I'm watching this whole thing from above. It's too high.
He's got the range. The whole joke.
So we only have one song left, actually.
What?
And, we forgot we listened to Fishing for Lisa. Venus and Pressure Man were the ones we started with. And then
Communicate.
Communicate. As good as it gets. And now.
Taking us out. Not.
Tunnel's getting smaller and I'm blacking out. I'm spinning in a capture world high out in space. I can see it down there. You're as small as hell if it exists, but I don't care. I'm just floating out here. Yeah, I've been coming in, burning up, feeling fine and I can't get enough.
Okay, so this song, the reason I said that they were worse than Ezra is that this song is a direct ripoff of a Better Than Ezra song called King of New Orleans, and I'm going to play it really quick to demonstrate that. But you guys talk about how you feel while I do that.
Well, I would love to see the timeline on when these songs were released, because there's a very high chance Ezra were huge Feelers fans.
Oh, that could be. Maybe Ezra stole this.
What's more likely? A New Zealand band think they can rip off an American band and no one find out? Or an American band being like, well, no one's going to fucking hear this.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm not crazy, right?
No, you are on the nose.
Okay, I'm gonna look up the years. You guys place your bets.
As a loyalist, I'm gonna say the Feelers. I feel like this song was either 2001 or 2003. I mean, I don't know the band better than Ezra.
As a jingoist, I will say Better Than Ezra.
And then I guess, Tom, you get to take parallel thinking.
That's most fun bet.
Yeah.
No, I will be taking the chaos theory.
Shit, I'm realizing I don't know exactly how to figure this out. Let's see, it's probably just on the
bottom. Yeah, we'll play while you look. I like this song. One of my favorite Norm MacDonald jokes ever. It was like he did a Weekend Update joke where he said, the number one college rock band in the world, Better Than Ezra. Number two, Ezra. That's a great joke.
Last I checked, there ain't no crime against that. I think this is from their second album, 2003, meaning that you're probably an odds-on favorite here. Do you remember roughly what time?
Okay. I think of them as late 90s. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck yeah. Guilty as charged.
It's the same chorus. It's like, yeah, exactly the same.
Well, I guess, you know, the same logic I was using against Better Than Ezra can fold right back on the Feelers. And it's like, well, no one's going to hear this. We're in New Zealand.
Anything's fair game. Yeah.
Guys, this has been a fun app.
Probably the best one.
I kind of think as a bit we should have you on for the next 52 episodes.
Talking about the Feelers.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty funny. We'll talk about it later.
It's a big gig.
This will be a later discussion. God, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me,
what
boys.
What a fun time. Yeah, is there anything you want to plug before we rip this playlist apart?
What? When will this podcast go live?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Ah, oh, it's very unlikely, but if you're in New York and not doing anything tomorrow night,
12:20.
On Thursday, 12:20, that's right. I'm hosting a show at Union Hall called I'm Friends With These People, and it's going to be good. I am good at comedy. or you can follow me online at guy_mont on Twitter and Instagram.
Hell yeah. Tommy?
Come see me 12:23 at Lincoln Lodge. I'm going to do a half hour. Ricky Gonzalez also doing a long set. Plus we'll have Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa.
Hell yeah.
It's a fun show.
That's a fun show. I will be headlining Go Bananas in Cincinnati the 27th through New Year's Eve. Come to that. Also, if you're in Indiana, I'll be at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington January 17th through the 19th, and I'll also be in Indianapolis for one night with friends doing a little set on a holiday show.
With Ross, Rachel.
Of course, that is true. Chandler is making a special appearance.
Also, can I just say really quick, if Jared's still listening, the song is called One Headlight, not One Blue Headlight. That's a crazy thing for a song.
This is parody version, which was almost as popular.
What do you think of this playlist, my man?
Oh, I forgot to read. So here's the thing. I truly don't think any of it is bad. I think it is the most generic, bland music in the world. So I feel like I have to rank it a 3 out of 6 because it's a perfect down the middle 50-50 kind of thing. So I feel like 3 is the only thing I can give it.
Okay, so I didn't like Pressure Man very much, but...
God, the opening of Pressure Man
is horrible.
I used
to love... Yeah, I think that turned me off a lot, yeah. But I used to have a huge crush on Kirsten Dunst. And therefore... I'm giving this playlist a 3.75.
She gets 0.75?
Yeah. I'm going to give it a... I really liked some of this playlist. I, you know what? Fishing for Lisa, we got to listen to that Vertical Horizon song. That left a pleasant taste in my mouth.
I think your rating is truly in the spirit of my relationship to the Feelers, which is it's built on almost memory. You know, you can look at the evidence in the cold, hard light of day and say... No, but you know, you can't take away, the connection you build with the bands you listen to in adolescence.
Course,
exactly. You can't take away our memories, Tommy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. Yeah.
Try as you fucking well might,
Why am I the villain of the podcast? It's McNamara. You're my friend.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me, gents.
This is so fun. Oh, what do you rate the playlist before we...
6 out of 6.
All right, perfect.
I'm mad at you now.
What a good way to end the show. Guys, thanks so much for listening. Get on the Patreon, patreon.com/standbyyourband. We're going to put some content up before the holidays, I hope. We'll have time this week. This will be the first time in a while we've had some time.
It's a good advertisement. Hey, yeah, buy this product. We're going to make the product. Oh, I think we're going to make the product.
Yeah, we're trying our best out here, my friends. There's stockings up. I just want you to know it's a jolly apartment right now. The mood is high.
The mood is festive.
Yes, the mood is festive. And we love you for listening. If you like the show, rate and review on iTunes. Those make me happy. And we miss you. Bye.